The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What do we mean when we say, believe in Him for everlasting life? What is it about Jesus that I am supposed to believe in order for Him to fulfill His promise and give me eternal life? It'll be a great discussion today. I hope you'll stay tuned. This is Grace in Focus. We're glad you're here. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Please get to know us better at our website, faithalone.org. There you will find hundreds, maybe even into the thousands, of articles that pertain to our position about free grace. And you can find out about our national conference coming up next May. It's not too soon to be thinking about attending, and we hope that you will. It's all at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
We have a question here today from Yuri. Hi, I'm really confused by the idea that to be saved, I have to believe in the promise of Jesus that everyone who believes in Him has eternal life. The, quote, believes in Him, end quote, is what confuses me. What is it about Jesus that I'm supposed to believe in order for Him to fulfill His promise and give me eternal life? Am I supposed to believe that He is God and is all-powerful? And that's when Jesus fulfills His promise and gives me eternal life? If that is the case, then it is easy for me to believe. Or does, quote, believe in Him, end quote, mean something else?
All right, good question. By the way, I think a person could believe that Jesus' promise in John 3:16 is true, even if they don't believe that He's all-powerful. What did He say?
That He is God and is all-powerful.
So, you know, there are many people who believe that Jesus is God but don't believe He's all-powerful or don't believe He's eternal, for example. They haven't even thought through that He has all the attributes of deity.
Yeah.
So Yuri's right. There's a difference between Jesus being God and, well, let's put it this way. There isn't a difference except in terms of belief. Some people have faulty belief in the deity of Christ. Mm-hmm. So if we believe that Jesus is God and that He's all powerful, then the only question is, does He promise eternal life to those who believe in Him? And if He does, well, then we know that's a true promise, and we know if we believe in Him, we have eternal life. So what Yuri is saying, yes, but how do I know I believe in Him?
Mm-hmm. We see believe in Him over and over again in the Gospel of John.
Right.
And we say, well, to get eternal life, you need to believe in Him. So Yuri, I think, is asking, what does believe in Him mean? What am I supposed to believe to get this everlasting life?
Okay, so I'm going to give you three different options here, Yuri. One is found in John 4:10, so let's turn there.
Okay, I'll go ahead and read it.
Yeah.
Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water.
Now, if you notice, the gift of God and who it is that says to you, you can put a 1 and a 2 in your Bible if you like to write. He's saying you need to know two things. You need to know what the gift of God is, and He goes on to explain that in verse 14. So read verse 14 if you would.
But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.
And what does the woman think he's promising?
Physical drinking water.
But she never has to come back and draw again, because in verse 15 she says, give it to me so I don't have to come here anymore.
Yeah.
But she gets that it's permanent.
Yeah, it's permanent.
She gets that it's irrevocable.
Yeah.
But she's thinking literal water.
Yeah, she'll never need literal water again.
Just like Nicodemus thought literally, he's talking about getting in my mother's womb and being born a second time.
Correct.
Jesus clarified it for Nicodemus, and he came to faith. He clarified it for her. So the first part is you need to believe in the gift of God. That is everlasting life. That can't be lost, by the way. Once you drink this living water, you'll never thirst again. And that's also, by the way, in John 6:35. And then he says, and he who says to you, give me a drink. Well, that's explained in verses 25 and 26. Could you read that?
The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he.
Notice at that point, she leaves her water pot behind, which has the non-living water in it. It has the Samaritan work salvation message. And she takes with her the living water to the men of the village, and she shares the living water with them and said, could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? And of course, she believed he was, but she said it that way because she wanted to influence them and because she was a woman of low reputation. So notice, Yuri, there's two things here, what it means to believe in Jesus. First of all, we believe that the gift of God that he gives is irrevocable life. And secondly, we believe he is the Christ, the Messiah. Putting those two together, we believe he's God's Messiah who guarantees everlasting life to those who believe he's the Messiah who gives everlasting life. Now, you may say, Yuri, well, isn't that faith in faith? And my answer is absolutely. You can't believe John 3:16 without believing in believism, because it's whoever believes in him. You can't believe John 4:10 without believing in believism, because it's a matter of believing these things. That's what drinking the living water is. So that's one passage. Yuri, let's turn to another one. 1 Timothy 1:16.
For this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life.
Now notice those last three words, for everlasting life. Notice he said believing on him, or it could be believing in him, for something specific, everlasting life.
We will rejoin in just a moment, but years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
So, Yuri, what it means to believe in him is to believe that he guarantees me everlasting life because I believe in him. It's simply saying he's making a promise, and if I'm convinced that promise is true, I have what he promises. That's all it's about. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute, you're not believing in Jesus, you're believing in the promise. No, you're believing in Jesus for what he promises, and that's what it says here in 1 Timothy 1:16. The words for everlasting life in Greek mean for everlasting life.
Yeah.
We're believing in him something specific. So if I believe in him for temporary life, like I believe he saved me for now, but I got to keep on working in order to keep it, well, then I'm not yet believed in him for everlasting life. I need to believe in him for a salvation that can never be lost. And that's the point of John 4:10. And that's also the point of 1 Timothy 1:16. But wait, there's more. Look at John 11:25 to 27, which is one of the more famous passages in the New Testament. This is Jesus' dialogue with Martha. In this passage, he's come to raise Lazarus from the dead, but she doesn't know this yet. And Lazarus is her brother.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
First of all, notice her answer is not based exactly on what he said. She could have said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that whoever believes in you, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in you shall never die." Instead, she says why she believes it. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's to come into the world." In other words, she knows that the Christ, the Son of God, guarantees this to all who believe in him. Now, what is it he promises? Two things. "I am the resurrection, I am the life." He then says, "He who believes in me, though he may die physically, he shall live." Some people think that means everlasting life. I think it means bodily resurrection. So that he who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he shall live physically, he's going to be raised. I am the resurrection. He's going to be glorified. But it's a statement of eternal security. Everybody's going to be resurrected, but he's talking here about the resurrection of the believer. And then he says, "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." He's explaining what he means by "I am the life." The one who believes in me has everlasting life, therefore he shall never die. And then he says, do you believe this? Notice the word believe occurs three times in verses 25 and 26. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The first two are believing in. The next one is believe that. In Greek, there's a shift in John's gospel. Sometimes it talks about believing in Jesus. Sometimes it talks about believing that. Notice in her answer, she said, yes, Lord, I believe that. In Greek, to believe that is pistuo hati. To believe in is pistuo eis. Well, pistuo hati, all commentators recognize, is identical to believe in. They're synonymous ideas. And Martha brings that out here. What you see here is identical to the purpose statement in John 20, 31. These things I've written, you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The point is that what she's believing is that by faith in him, she is secure forever.
So when we see believe in him in the Gospel of John, it's shorthand for believing that Jesus is the Christ, the guarantor of everlasting life to everyone who believes in him for it. So that is what person needs to believe when they say believe in Jesus.
Yeah, and did you notice what Mike just said? He's the Christ, the guarantor of eternal life to all who believe in him for that life. The Christ doesn't mean that's his last name. It means he's the one that guarantees resurrection and unending life to those who believe in him. That I believe that by faith in Jesus, I'm secure forever. Is that faith in faith? Absolutely. That's what Jesus promises. But that's not circular because it's saying there's power in Jesus' promise that he who believes in him has everlasting life. And didn't Yuri start out by talking about Jesus being all-powerful?
Yeah, that he's God and he's all-powerful.
Yep. There's power in his name.
Yeah.
And the power is anyone who believes in him for that life has that life, and they know it as long as they continue to believe the promise. Also, look at the expression, the promise of life and the word of life in the New Testament. You'll see that this is used by Paul and by John as well as the promise of life. So,
and where would you suggest Yuri go to get the meaning of believe in him or believe in Jesus?
I'd say go to the Bible, especially the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John is the gospel of belief. That's what Tenney called it. Gospel of John is where I'd recommend. You can see it elsewhere, but the best place is the Gospel of John because it's over and over and over again. And that's why two of the three passages I cited from the Gospel of John. But I did take 1 Timothy 1:16 for those of you who are Paul folks.
And remember, keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, was Judas a believer? And was Samson saved? We hope that you will join us. And in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.